This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Thank God it's Friday, 3 o'clock, standing tall, feeling good as we move along here. Game On, folks. Huh? Seat Williams, Ari, he's got the wheels of steel. George Cole, he's going to join us about 10 minutes from now. From Aliante, I believe he's at the property over at Cannery North today. But, yeah, we'll talk about no Sam Bradford. The game last night. Jared Goff sighting. What the hell was that? Folk, 1 hour and 56 minutes ago, summer ended. Yes, it is officially fall. You call it autumn, fall, leaves on the ground. Man, I love it.
Favorite season.
Yes. I'll tell you this. So you're going to like this. Your favorite show, folk. The Mike Tyson ticket giveaway is going to be today. Coming up in the final go-around. Tyson at the Brad Garrett Comedy Room at the MGM Grand. You're going to get a certificate for two to check that show out. So have your phones ready. We're going deep in the calls. So enjoy that when we get to it. Plenty to get to today. Of course, dope at the bottom of the hour. The Kevin Durant thing won't go away. And by the way, the Dubs, they actually had the media day, first day today. And you know those questions were coming consistently at KD and his teammates, and he deserves it. I'll get to him later, but you've already won, dude. You got the ring, you got the MVP, you got away from OKC. Why? Sometimes when you have a win, why can't you just let it go? Man. All right, it's been 48 hours since the little toddler got hit by that foul ball at Yankee Stadium, and everyone had to hold their breath. Apparently, the little girl's not going to need surgery just yet, but you never know what the long-term effects will be. And here's the issue. The Nets at a baseball game, do we put them down? Do we bring them up? Do we remove them? Do we install them? Are you going to wait till a baby dies? Or somebody's looking away and they get hit with a foul ball and they're in a coma till you got to pull the plug? Manfred, I give him credit. He addressed it. However, do something about it. I know the Reds, the Padres, and the Mariners are all teams that are willing to, hey, listen, we'll put a net up right now. Okay? But the Yankees, because of their big-time season ticket holders who are sitting right there. No, it'll take away the enhancement of the ball game. You know, we got to be right there on the field. We want to be able to catch those foul balls with this and that and this and that. Okay, at the expense of a toddler who has no shot. Are you serious? I believe it's Japan. I know it's somewhere across seas where they have nets up to protect the fans from things of that nature. Here's the deal. I'm willing to make a compromise. Are you? Let's have no nets up before the game so the fans can have that experience with the players. They could come over. Kids can get hats, caps, T-shirts, balls signed. You can mingle with them. There's nothing in the way between you and the player. And the majority of baseball players are very fan-friendly, where they'll just come over and chat, and you can have a good time with them. But when the first pitch is about to happen and the umpire says, play ball, drop the nets, at least past the dugout on the first and third baseline to protect the fans. Look, I know when you're in there, you're at your own expense, at your own safety. It's up to you to look out for you and your peeps to make sure nothing gets you as far as a foul ball. But not always are you going to be able to have your attention there. Baseball, to me, is the best place to take a date of all sporting events. You want to go UFC boxing? Too much adrenaline. You're not going to miss anything. In between rounds, you're probably looking up at the Jumbotron to see the replays. Basketball? You kidding? Up and down the court? Hockey? Up and down the ice? Football? No way. Not even during the huddles. I'm looking at the Jumbotron to see the replays if I'm in there with the fans. Baseball is deliberate. You can relax. You can do your own thing. That's why sometimes people don't see the foul ball that's coming their way. Best place to take a girl for a date is a baseball game if you're going to a sporting event, because it's very laid back and slow. You have time to spit your game at the girl. you might get a little further than the first band. Okay, so let's make it fan-friendly, keep it fan-friendly, but during the course of the game, make it fan-safety, okay? Safety for the fans. Important enough? Can we compromise here? Do something to better the safety of the fans and the toddler? God bless that girl, man. Hopefully there's no long-term negative effects on her. So we'll see what happens there. This one just in. Looking at this article on Yahoo, NFL reporter Don Banks, who was on, he was with Sports Illustrated for many years, and he's been working with the media in the NFL, and he's got a report saying that the NFL is considering making Dean Spanos and the Chargers move back to San Diego. You serious? They played one game already in StubHub. 27-seat stadium, and they couldn't sell it out. 27,000, and they couldn't sell it out. Okay, they had at least 50% Miami Dolphin fans in that loss in StubHub. You know where Miami is? South Beach, okay? Now, I understand they had the hurricane out that way, but at the same time, that was Irma. This is continuous. It happened in Qualcomm forever. Now it's up in StubHub where you can only get maximum 30,000 people. They didn't even have it sold out, and they lost the ball game. So the story goes on the Mighty 1090. He was being interviewed on one of the shows, and he's explaining how the NFL, he's got people from the NFL's office in New York telling him, hey, look, we don't know how long this is going to go. Do you remember Al Davis, folk? Al Davis sued you and moved the Raiders to L.A. and then sued you again and moved them back to Oakland. So I don't know if you can get your way in the courts, but at the same time, Dean Spanos and company, they should have waited a year. I said that all along on that Wednesday when they decided, you know, let's shrug our shoulders, stick our chest out. We're going to L.A., buddy. And then the mayor of Los Angeles coming out earlier this week. You know, we welcome the Chargers, but we were okay with just one team, quote-unquote, two, meaning the Rams. And that was a lot of fun watching them up in the Bay Area last night. But we'll see what happens with this. This is not a story that will not go away. This story will be around for the year. And what I mean by that is just keep in mind the Spanos, the Chargers, their fan base up there, L.A. doesn't want them, first of all. They don't want them there. They made it clear. And do the fans in San Diego want Dean Spanos back as an owner in San Diego after lifting his team on that Wednesday? Probably not. But in the best interest of everyone concerned, going back to San Diego is probably the best move, but I don't know if you can. It's like a broken marriage. You know, you leave your spouse, and do you come running home? Does some judge say, hey, look, you got to go back, you know? Get back in there. Just take the trash out on Fridays, right? Put the toilet seat down every night and be a man. Well, we'll see how that turns out. We'll find out exactly how that turns out. That story right there is one that's going to be moving parts. I think it'll be talked about every week. It'll be bought up. I can't imagine what it's like down there being a native San Diegan. And you know what I'm going through right now, withdrawals. I would have been at the game last week. I would be at every Charger game as I've been for the last 5 years, including the preseason. And it's a little hollow, I have to admit. It's a tire adjustment in my world. But I'm okay. I'm good with it. But I don't know if those fans in L.A. and the fans in San Diego and all the other things going on, I don't know how good that's going to be in that case. Going to the phone lines now, we got our good friend. He's at Cannery North. He's also at Aliante, the manager of Race and Sportsbook. Gentleman there, George Cole. George, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, my man? How you doing today?
Feeling good. Man, what a ball game last night. You know what? All right, I had the under. So outright, early in the third quarter, that ticket was ripped and shredded. But a 41-39 final with the Rams and the Niners playing in a half-full stadium up there in Santa Clara, no one would have expected that.
Well, You know, you and a lot of the public had the under in that game. I want to say it opened at 40.5, and I think we finally closed at 38.5. So, you know, by halftime, you were almost out of the ball game on that one. I think it was at 37 at the end of the first half. But, yeah, I mean, who would have seen that coming? And then, you know, Rams get up by 15, and it ends up a two-point game that really, if that sack hadn't happened on the end, the 49ers had a decent shot at it.
Yeah, that was fun, though. I have to admit, we saw a Jared Goff signing. What the heck was that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to quite get on the Jared Goff wagon yet. I think he's definitely playing well, but, you know, it's been against the Colts in week one, the 49ers in week three. He didn't have a great game last weekend, so... you know, I certainly don't think he's a bust by any means, but it's a little too early for me to, you know, think he's the next great thing.
Yeah, I agree. But, of course, Gurley had a good game. They get Donald. He did his thing, had that big sack down the stretch in that ball game. The parts are coming together for the Rams. They're in a situation in L.A., unlike the Chargers, but at the same time similar because their fan base there is not going to be good until the stadium arrives, and then we'll see how many people want to spend their money. See, if you're not from SoCal, then you probably don't really understand. People in Southern California, I'm not going to call them cheap, but they're kind of stingy.
Well, it's also they have a lot of other options. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you can go spend a Sunday afternoon at the beach. You know, you could spend a Sunday afternoon golfing in November. So there's a lot of – you're right. It's a tough market, but they have a lot of entertainment options out there.
And that's a very good point. You hit it right out the park there. And we'll see what happens. The Ram fan base, small, but the Charger fan base, even smaller. Let's get into some other things about last night. Did you have anything in particular that you can recollect, maybe a prop or something that did well or that the man got you guys with?
You know, pretty much like I said, we did very well last night. I think the majority of the public was on the Rams. You know, very anti-49ers. I think you're going to see that continue through the next few weeks, although it looks like I think they've covered the last 2 weeks in their games. But people are betting against the 49ers. And then, like I said, I think everyone pretty much had the under on that game last night.
George Cole, Aliante, Kennery North here on the show. Let's get to the other games coming up week number three in the NFL. And, George, I'll let you run them. We know Sam Bradford is a no-go. Any other injuries you want to mention as we flow through week three's matchups?
You know, I don't think too much in the pros, but let's start off with, you know, just a reminder to everyone, they got to set their alarm clocks if they want to bet. Well, I guess you can come in right now, but if you want to get your bet in Sunday morning, we got the Ravens-Jaguars playing over in England. That's a 6:30 a.m. start. That game opened at -4. It's sitting at -4 right now. Total has dropped a half a point to 39.5. We're about a 6-1 ticket count on the Ravens, so we're going to really need the Jags in that game.
Hey, one thing on that game. The NFL, maybe I missed their explanation, but I know the game's going to be streaming on Yahoo. I used to love to get up. Well, I was already up to watch that game, so they're not going to have it on the NFL Network anymore.
Yeah, I want to say I believe the same thing happened last year because I remember trying as hard as I could over at the Gold Coast. We were trying to get that game up, and we just, you know, couldn't end up getting it up. I mean, some of the rules with showing it in public are a little bit different. We did have some guys out in the crowd who managed to get it up on their phones or stuff like that. But what we're legally allowed to do in the book is a little bit different. You know, I can't use one of my private accounts to show the game. But, yeah, I already was talking to the general manager here today and said, don't be surprised if some guest reviews come in negative about not showing the game. Because people just don't understand, like I said, what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. And it was funny, at lunch we were actually talking about, you know, at some point, you know, the racing sports books and casinos, bars in general, are all going to have to look at switching their AV systems because I think the future of sports is you're going to see more and more games streamed live, and it's going to be people being able to pick and choose what games they want to watch. So I think at some point we're going to have to end up adapting some of our systems.
And you know what that does, George? It gives you like it doesn't give you a true total caption of what the ratings were. And Look, the games, the ratings for the NFL down. It was down 14% in that first Thursday night game where you had the Chiefs in that upset against New England. Okay, all right. But here's the deal. If you have all these different apps, people are watching games on their phones, maybe, you know, at different facilities here, wherever around the country, pubs. More so than anything, if you're doing it now on Yahoo and other places, your ratings aren't going to be as true as they are, and they're going to look like they're down when they're probably really going upwards.
Yeah, well, I want to say I saw somewhere that said that Mayweather-McGregor fight was illegally downloaded over a million views.
Oof.
So, I mean, they sold out. I mean, I forget what the exact number was for pay-per-view, but it was an incredible amount. But then, yeah, you throw another million on top of it who actually watched the fight.
I'll let you jump to Sunday's games behind the one over in London.
All right. Now we got the Browns and Colts. That game opened at one, is sitting at one. Totals up a point, 1.5. We are pretty evenly bet on that game. It's not like we're either side's going to get us. Now we come to the Steelers-Bears. That's kind of a different story. The game opened at 7.5. We are about a 10-to-1 ticket count on the Steelers, so we're going to need the Bears to do some work there. Dolphins-Jets. Dolphins, it opened at 6.5. We're now at 6. It looks like the Sharps were all over the Jets but at 6.5, but we're at a pretty heavy ticket count on the Dolphins. Broncos-Bills. Bills are -3. That's where it opened. That's where it sits. We're about an 8-to-1 ticket count on the Broncos, but we are taking some sharp money on the Bills at +3. Texans-Patriots. Patriots had opened at 13. It's now at 14. All the money flowing in on the Patriots. It's going to be, you know, everybody forgot about week one now after week two, and we're going to be on the Patriots for a few weeks until they slow down.
How about Gronk? Gronk good? That? Gronk good for this one?
Yeah, I think they announced him that he was playing this week.
Okay.
We got the Saints-Panthers. Saints, that game had opened at 6. It's 5.5. The Sharps were all over the Saints at 6. Buccaneers-Vikings, looks like we're sitting at -2.5 right now. It looks like Sam Bradford is not going to play in that game. It looks like the majority of the money will come in on the Bucs in that game. Falcons-Lions, that's at 3. That's right where it opened. Total did jump up a half a point, but that game is very evenly bet. It's the Falcons heading into Detroit. Detroit's been playing pretty well this year, and I don't think, you know, as well as the Falcons have been playing, there's not a ton of confidence in them yet. Giants-Eagles. Eagles are -6 right now. That's where it opened up. We're about a 3-to-1 ticket count on the Eagles, so we're the books need the Giants. Titans-Seahawks. Titans are -2.5, hosting the Seahawks. Public is heavy, heavy, heavy on the Titans. All the money coming in on the Titans.
Let me stay on that one for you, okay? Now this is where I need an answer from you. I need help from you here. Okay, Pops, I gotta get your advice. I did it today, finally. It's going to happen at least once a year, and that mistake is sometimes you dread it, sometimes it's good for you. George, I walk into the book. And I write all my numbers.
You got the wrong ticket.
Well, here's the deal, though, on this one. I write my totals and sides down, and I get there. My very first game is that Titan game, all right? And I have the game going under. But the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, all right, I'll take the Titans, gave the number, and he prints the ticket. So what do you do there? Generally speaking, what is the say, no say to do, yes say to do, when the mistake is either yours or the book writer's? This was my mistake. Do I keep the mistake and roll with it, or do I change it out? Because I'll tell you what I did after that.
Well, this is my opinion on it. It depends on – part of it is the amount of money involved. Obviously, if you're walking in and placing a limit bet and you're intent on betting something and you get the wrong ticket, you got to cancel it and change it, you know. But if you're betting $5, $10, $20 on a 3-14 parlay, I would roll with it. What I might do would put the same parlay in again with the other side on it just to have two tickets, especially like that, because you could end up winning both. Because one, you're talking the Titans, and the other, you're talking the over. So you could end up winning both parlays. So that would probably be what I would do in that situation.
Okay, since my bet was only $2.50, I kept the bet. I made the mistake, and I kept the Titans minus the 2.5. So we'll see if I'm crying in here Monday or not.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, worst comes to worst, you go put it in again for another, you know, $5.
Right.
We got the Chiefs and Chargers, who I guess I kind of researched it after I spoke to you this morning. There is a little bit of talk about people wanting to pull them back to San Diego. I don't know if it – I mean, could they even try to do something like that in the middle of the year?
No, I don't think they could do it in the middle of the year. They probably – it's something they would probably have to get down to earth with, meet with the Spanos. Other owners in the league, because, you know, Goodell can't do it without the approval of the other owners. But I think eventually this thing ain't going to work out. You know, for one, the Spanos and Crofty, they don't get along. The two owners don't get along, the Rams owner and the Charger owners. Now you're going to be a tenant at that facility. I think in the end, I could be wrong, but I think the first team to move to San Diego will be the Chargers moving back home to San Diego to try to get back with their spouse.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's just hard to say the L.A. Chargers, and it just seems, you know, an awkward, you know, a move that where you move 45, 50 minutes away. I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. But, yeah, if you can't fill a 30,000-seat stadium as a legitimate NFL team with legitimate players, there's a problem.
Agreed.
Speaking of that game opened at 3 and 46. That's basically where it sits. It actually went up a point on the total. The public is all over the Chiefs, but the Sharps are backing the Chargers. So we'll see in that game. Bengals-Packers, it's -9. It's sitting where it is. All the money flown in on the public right now on the Packers. Haven't really taken any sharp action on the Bengals. Finally, the Raiders-Redskins, that opened at -3.5. The Sharps jumped on the Redskins at 3.5. It now sits at 3 -120. Public all over the Raiders. Total was 54. It looks like it jumped up a half point to 54.5. And then finally, on Monday night, we have the Cardinals-Cowboys. Cowboys opened 3.5. Sharps jumped all over the Cardinals, pushed it down to 3. We're now at 3 -120 on that game with a total of 47.
George Cole, our man right now, he's here each and every Friday in this slot. Cannery North, Aliante, Racing Sportsbook Manager, Director. George, a couple of college games tonight I'll let you give to the public.
Yeah, tonight it looks like we got Boise State, Virginia. Boise State opened at 13. That's 12.5 right now. Total of 53. It looks like the total moved to 50, so there was a pretty good move on the under in that game. One of the pretty even action on the side in that game. The second game's the one that we're going to need Arizona to come through for us. That game opened at -3. Utah now is -4. Total jumped almost 3.5 points from 57.5 to 61, and the public is all over Utah.
College football this coming weekend. Of course, UNLV playing their game at the Horseshoe against Ohio State. That number has been balanced right around 40 most of the way?
Yeah, I think we are. It's a 9 o'clock game. I want to say I looked at it and we were sitting at 41, which I believe we had 359. Let me see. There's so many games on the board tomorrow. We had opened at 40, so it jumped up a point. But believe it or not, money-wise and ticket count is fairly even right now.
Really?
I would imagine that come game time tomorrow, we'll probably be heavy on Ohio State. But, you know, 41 points is a lot of points.
Now, okay, the Rebels lost to Howard. Remember, they were 43-point favorites opener. Howard comes in, not D1, but they do the Rebels in. They beat them, 43-40, I believe the final was. If the Rebels, okay, more than likely, George, we're not going to be talking about this on Monday, but if somehow, remember that game in Wisconsin in the rain a few years ago when UNLV went in there as a big underdog and took it to the Badgers? What if somehow the Rebels, as a 40-point underdog, not only competed, not only stood ground and battled with the Buckeyes, but somehow beat them? How big would that be as an upset that you can recall in college football?
Well, I mean, considering that you're looking at what happened 2 weeks ago to what could possibly happen this weekend, it would have to be the biggest story in college football ever. You know, to actually lose as the biggest favorite ever, and then to come back and win as an even big, you know, well, I guess it's slightly you know, less than the spread was in the Howard game. Yeah, that would be an unbelievable story. I think, you know, that 40-41 would be a huge number had Ohio State not lost. But now, you know, now's the time where they have to pummel everybody, you know, to get back up into the top of the, you know, the playoff talk. So it's going to be no holds barred. If they can beat them 100-0, they're going to try to beat them 100-0. Whether they can do that, I don't know. But I don't think they're going to let up.
Yeah, and they're probably not going to lose. We won't be talking about it Monday unless they put some significant numbers up that are record worthy. Any other games that you want to put out there to the public that might be one way or the other with the sharps of the public?
Yeah, I mean, one of the ones that we're kind of, you know, another game that's, you know, first up on the board is the Wake Forest App State. Wake Forest had opened at 4. That's at 6. All the money is coming in on Wake Forest. We're going to need App State. Another one for us is going to be a big nationally televised game at 4:30. That's Penn State at Iowa. Penn State is starting to get a big following as well right now. They opened at minus 12. That's now at minus 13. Another big game for us will be Clemson, who's a 34.5-point favorite, hosting Boston College. We're going to need Boston College in that one. Looks like West Virginia opened at 20. This is another 9 o'clock game in the morning. That's now 22 against Kansas. We're going to need Kansas. I think one of the other big games to watch, which is fairly evenly bet right now, is Florida and Kentucky. See if one of the Stoops brothers can go down to Florida or and actually win that game. Florida's minus 3 in that one. Looks like I said, another big game for us is at 12:30, TCU, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State opened at 11. They're now at 13.5. We're going to need TCU in that.
How about that total?
Total on that game is 71.5. That's where it opened. Let me double-check and see where it sits right now. We're up 71 on that, so okay. It actually dropped a half a point. Looks like we have a 73.5 up on Arkansas State, SMU. That looks to be about the 76.5 in the Oregon-Arizona State game. Oregon, that's another game. We're going to need Arizona State. Oregon opened at 14.5. We're now at 15. Another big game is Oklahoma, minus 26 at Baylor. We're going to need Baylor in that one. And one of the more interesting games on the board is the later game, UCLA-Stanford. It's very evenly bet. Stanford is still a 7-point favorite, but we're taking money on both sides on that one.
What do you think we'll get to in total-wise in college football? We got up to, what was it, 82, mid-80s last year in a game or so in the Big 12?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and research that. But, you know, I'm thinking, I think you're going to get in the mid-80s. And my prediction is within a couple years, you're going to see triple-digit totals, especially as the rules change and they protect the quarterbacks more.
You really think so?
I would say so. I mean, think back, you know, 5 years ago, you know, were you seeing totals in the mid-80s?
You weren't seeing them in the 70s.
Maybe, yeah. So it'll be interesting, you know, and it just, you put that up and it doesn't slow them down. They'll still bet it.
You know, I know at your properties you put up some props on the NBA. Can you drop some of those on us?
Yeah. Actually, if you got a minute, I just want to go back to the NFL. We got some interesting props up, too, for this week. We're offering most passing yards, most receiving yards, and most rushing yards, which is, they're kind of interesting props because, you know, what it does is it makes you not only look at the player you're playing, you have to look at the defense that they're playing against. You know, so you can kind of look at some interesting matchups and pick and choose from there. And then, and we also have the team to score first and the type of score of the game as well in NFL. And like you just mentioned, for NBA, right now we have up for the most valuable player and the rookie of the year. It looks like for the rookie of the year, the favorite right now, looks like it was Ben Simmons, but it looks like Lonzo Ball took over. He's at a plus 200. Ben Simmons is a plus 250. Fultz plus 600. And we have a whole list of others. MVP award, it looks like right now it's between Durant and Westbrook, both at plus 400. Kawhi Leonard is plus 450, as well as LeBron James. You can take a shot with Harden at 7-1. If you get down a little bit lower, you know, we got Embiid 40-1, Boogie Cousins 40-1, Porzingis 75-1, and Lonzo Ball 100-1.
I have to admit, George, that is pretty lit that those props you have in the NFL as far as game highs, because what you're doing is you're making it now an in-game fantasy bet, right?
Yeah.
It's like fantasy football.
Like I said, it forces you to look at, you know, okay, you think, okay, it's going to be Tom Brady. But then, no, you have to look at who Tom Brady's playing that week. You think it might be Aaron Rodgers. No, it might not be. So your game in that may be looking at not only the quarterback, but just looking at the defense. Like you said, if Jared Goff was just about able to throw for 300 yards against the 49ers, maybe next week you take a look at who's playing the 49ers and you take a shot with somebody like that.
Man, you're going to have these all year, the rest of the way?
Yes, it looks like we'll put them up every weekend.
That is good stuff right there. Anything on our good girl on the tracks this weekend? Or
I didn't see much up for NASCAR this weekend. And like I said, we've been crazy busy getting everything settled for the weekend, so I don't have much for you there. But as always, you can go to BeConnectedSports.com. We still have some. We have some golf up for next. I think it's next weekend's President's Cup, which is an international tournament. You know, you can bet NHL right now, futures, all kinds of futures in soccer. So go to BeConnectedSports.com. It's a free download for Android and iPhone, and you can see all that Boyd Gaming has to offer.
Strong as ever, George. Appreciate your work.
All right, my man. You have a good weekend.
You too. George Cole, Aliante, Kennery North. He's getting it done. Man, I'm telling you guys, this. How about the new props? New props. This is fantasy in-game wagering. You pick your player, whether it be a quarterback, and you don't have to put a team together. You go individually. Okay, this quarterback is going to have the most passing yards. This receiver will have the most catches, touchdowns. This running back will have the most yards. You're playing fantasy football now, betting at the sports books. Brand new stuff. All right, I am all into this. I didn't know they had it there until he told me earlier. So, yeah, I'll be looking to jump on that perhaps next go-round, which is next week in week four in the NFL. All right, about 3:32, step away, lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Look like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
3:35 in the Valley. Lighters up. Going to take you down to Meth City, huh? The Blue Pill, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Breaking Bad. Oh, this story right here is Breaking Bad, if you haven't heard. A bake sale on the campus of U of New Mexico set up by a nonprofit group to charge students based on race and what their qualifications were in life ended after outraged opponents disputed it. The group Turning Point USA set up what it called an affirmative action bake sale on campus Thursday, with a sign advertising higher prices for Asians and Caucasians with cheaper prices for African Americans and Hispanics.
Wow.
What you talking about, Willis? Black people, man, I'm telling you, there's something wrong here. William Witt, a Turning Point regional director, said the bake sale was aimed at generating a conversation about affirmative action programs. Certain groups get different opportunities than other groups, and we believe it doesn't give equal opportunity, he said. But protesters outnumbered the people who set up the bake sale, okay? And the members of Turning Point, they had to get the hell out of Dodge. About to get thrown down on, man. Okay, quote, we had tons of people who wanted to have great conversations, but once people start yelling, destroying our stuff, and breaking everything on the table, it makes it tough to have a good discussion, Witt said. Some students encouraged a dialogue and asked angry students to calm down. Bake sale opponent and student Ryan Sidon said the group's departure came after we exercised our free speech to the point where they felt they needed to get the hell out of here. Actually, they needed to leave, unquote. The university said the group is not recognized as an official student group, but applied for the Turning Point bills itself as a student movement for free markets and limited government. Okay, listen. You don't need to do a bake sale on a campus to get engaged in a conversation regarding race and things of that nature, politics, religion. All you have to do is start it up. Okay? This was inappropriate. You're making people uncomfortable. And in the end, I don't know what you had in those brownies, but it wasn't good dope.
So wait, just clarify one thing, because I got something mixed up here. So they were charging more to different ethnicities?
Yeah. If you were white or Asian, they charged you more than they did blacks and Hispanics bake sale.
That's what I was just, yeah.
But I mean, look.
Come on.
they're trying to strike up a conversation, but you don't do it with people's money.
Yeah, definitely. Right? I mean,
this right here was way out of tune, way off balance, and in the wrong place. You don't do that to people, okay? You're striking. Our country right now is so divided, probably more than it's ever been in your lifetime, I'm sure.
Yeah.
With race and politics, that we don't need this kind of disturbance on college campuses. So, like I said, whatever they baked in their brownies, it was foul, sour dope.
It was swag. That's what we call it in the.
Is that what you call it?
That's what we call some really bad
swag, man. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ric Flair is my dope story. I mean, I could just leave it at that, right? But the dope part about this story, it's about the fact that he's, first of all, quick thing. I'm not big on WWE nowadays. I kind of grew out of it. That's my own thing. I think it's weird personally when adults like it, but that's just my opinion. But there's just something about him. He's, as an entertainer, I feel like he's one of the greatest entertainers of our time. Like,
can you do his whoop?
Sure can.
Let me hear it.
It's called That's the power close of enough, technology. Right? Yeah, nah, I'm not gonna do that.
Okay, it's close enough.
He's dope to me. He's in this story. He told People magazine, he admitted that he is indeed an alcoholic, and he's 68 years old. If you know, he was rushed to the hospital last month with stomach pains. It ended up being kidney failure, and he's also on the verge of congestive heart failure as a result of alcohol. He had a 20% chance of surviving, and he did because he's Ric Flair. There's my woo here. But I just want to say that's dope because someone like that, to me, like, to be that good at what you do, you're probably very sure of yourself. You probably don't need anyone. You do you. You do whatever you want. I mean, that's really the essence of what his personality is, why we like him so much. He's Ric Flair. Like, you know, things I can't say, explicit is. So I got to give him props because he needs help, clearly. And he's actually going to step up and take that help. He's admitting. Admitting is the first step. So I hope he gets the help he needs. I hope he lives a long, long life.
You know,
and we need you, Rick.
Yeah, he is dope. I'll admit, he was an icon and still is. Coming up, still is. And San Diego State, the show, their basketball fans, they use that woo, woo, as you know, at the Rebel games or any place in the country when their fans are there or you're down in San Diego in Vallejas, you hear that. They took that from Ric Flair. Ric Flair is a guy that he admitted, who was he on? Dan Patrick's show? He was on one of the shows earlier this week where he talked about one of the shows on ESPN. He actually came off and he said, you know, like I used to drink heavily just all the time. The only time I didn't drink was the morning before I had an assignment in the ring. But he talked about how it was just he drank more beer than he ate food. He's lucky to be with us.
Yeah.
I like the fact, though, Ari, that a guy like this is now giving a testimonial to other people in the world, whether you're older and you want to overcome because you have succumbed to alcohol or whatever else your substance abuse may be. And for the younger people who are just now getting off the ground and starting to, you know, hey, I could drink now. Well, hold it. Pump the brakes here, homie. At a certain amount, okay? Don't go guzzling them down. For one, you may not make it home. And for two, the organs in your body, alcohol will make them evaporate.
Yeah, no one's invincible, not even him, so.
Nope.
Yep.
All right. This one will take you out to Los Angeles, the Angels. Okay, Sherman Williams, they have this real nice setup for a charity. If you hit a home run to left field, they have this big, gigantic Angels cup. It's a huge cup. And if you hit a home run and it goes in that cup, they will give $1 million to the Angels charity of their choice. Okay. That's... Justin Upton cranked one out last night. And as far as I saw, that home run went into the paint. Okay. The giant paint is just beyond left center field. All right. And it reads Angels home run can for $1 million. Actually, it was Tuesday. Upton hit the ball, towering home run into the can. Sherman Williams said they're not going to pay it. Let me see here. They said the reason is because the ball didn't just go in and stay. The ball, you saw the ball go in and bounce up.
Oh, man.
Listen to me, Sherman Williams. Okay. I'm quite sure you're insured on this. So it's not like you're going to lose $1 million. Give the money to the Angels. The bad part is you already stepped on yourself. You're walking with your left foot on top of your right foot, and you're falling down already. Okay? You've lost a lot of respect with the public because you said, no, we're not going to pay. No, you pay it. Even if you got to come off the floor and say, you know, we got that one wrong. Sorry. Exactly. We're going to pay this. Go ahead and do it to the charity. Because if you go through the remainder of the year, they're thinking, oh, we made it through the year. No. You got 10 more games. Hopefully somebody else cranks one out before the year's over. But this right here, I'm sorry, I'm on the negative side of dope. This is so un-dope, Ari. Yeah, pay the money.
I agree. And listen, I can respect a business. If this was something else and it wasn't charity and the business owner is saying we have this arrangement, you know, like read the fine print, right? You know, you buy a car, you do an agreement with your local phone company, and there's fine print. You have to be the person to, as a customer, you have to be, you know, take initiative, check it out, and read those things. And if not, they got you, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, I mean,
yeah, here's what happened. Because when you watch it, I apologize, sorry.
All good.
When he hit the home run, I'm watching this on the replay. It was 444 feet. Now, the ball bounced in front of the can and then bounced into the can.
Even better. That makes it even... Because I was going to say, I want to see something in fine print was where I was getting to.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I want to see something as a lawyer. You know, I want to see something that states only if it goes in and stays in, which to your first point, you know, when you said it went in and came out. That, to me, if I don't see that, you're paying me the money. And then in this case, again, it does not say anything about it bouncing in or hitting something first.
It says Angels home run in the can. Upton hit a home run in the can. It didn't say Angels home run in the can on a fly. So in other words...
Did it say not on a fly?
No, though? So they still should pay the money.
Yeah, and I'm speaking from...
Because it bounced into the... How difficult is that for it to hit the ground and to bounce up and go in the can?
Yeah,
that's even harder.
As a PR for Sherman, you could have actually, you know, probably spun this in a good way. Like, well, technically, hey, but you know what? We're great, so we're gonna go ahead and, you know, we're awesome. We're gonna go ahead and award it anyway, even on the technicality. Instead, they're really doing the opposite, which is saying we're kind of jerks and we're gonna take the negative thing. I have a really good friend who's a lawyer. We also have a lawyer on the other show I produced on Fridays right before here, The Final Countdown. Russ, who, and you know, I listen to what he says. I learn him. I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I know a few things about law, and a lot of it has to do with the language, how a contract or how an agreement was written, and millions and millions of dollars have come and gone based on little things like that. Like, you could just say of instead of for, and you could break a whole case wide open. So my thing is, I want to see something that says in fine print over charity. That's my issue. You know, this is not like someone said, hey, it said buy one, get one free, and you're not getting the second burger. This is like, you know, a life-changing event from a business that could afford it. So that's they are dopes for that.
Yep.
I don't like it. Oh, I'm up after.
Yeah, I think it's your turn, Holmes.
I'm yapping here. All right, I got a dope too, actually, a negative one. And this is rapper-songwriter Travis Scott. He's popular amongst the rap community. I don't know if you're familiar, but he's pretty big. He is a dope to me. And so is Kylie Jenner, because they are now pregnant with a baby. and I say that because I'm not going to knock having a baby. I am going to say this. For one, she is notorious for being quite promiscuous in the community and has been with a garden variety of other rappers in Hollywood. So that would be the first red flag. But really, the reason this is ridiculous to me is I'm just kind of sick of people just knocking out, like being this irresponsible. And I'll take one positive approach. They're young, they hustle, they grind, they have a lot going on for them. So why would you, you know, make this mistake, in my opinion, and now you're not going to be around? They have really demanding schedules. They tour over the world. I just don't get it. I mean, I'm just saying it's kind of a silly thing to me. It's a very easy thing to avoid. That's all I really know about it. It's from TMZ, but I just think that's it's just more news to hear about the Kardashian clan.
You know you love them. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Kardashians, like them or not, they're a money-making machine. That family, dude. Sure.
I respect that part.
Hey. Anything about the Kardashians, okay, we may not want to watch it on TV. I will admit, there is one episode of Kim Kardashian's show I did watch when they had the x-rays to see if her butt was real. Okay, I watched that. And her butt's real. Okay?
What year was that?
That was last year. You missed it, huh?
Yeah, I missed that one. I'm also really not sure how legitimate that is, but
hey,
move right along.
Easy. All right. This young lady is speaking of big butts. Her name is Lasego Logabine. She goes by the nickname of her AKA is Thick Alonce. Okay, like Beyonce, but she's much bigger. She's 24 years of age. She's a South African, and she's a plus size model blogger. So she's online, and so this dude decides to bully her online. I'm not going to say his name because I'll jack him up. Just say the brother from Africa tries to bully her. So he goes online, and he tweets out, "These are girls," and he uses one of her pictures. "These are girls that like me that I don't like." And then he put a bunch of other hot chicks up and said, "These are girls that I like."
I saw that.
And so this thing is going on. He got about maybe 500 or so hits, whatever. And then she let it all go for a while. Then she tweeted back, "I don't like you."
Yep.
And got it. Tens of thousands of 50s of thousands, yep, of hits online. And then people start jumping in the conversation, and they shame this troller down to the bone.
Yeah, I love
it. So, for Lasego Logabine, the 24-year-old model from South Africa, and I'll admit, I like her.
Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at that. She got a lot of fans out of it. I saw some of the threads, guys and girls. Girls, "Oh, you're beautiful," you know, and a lot of guys like, "Well, I like you," and that kind of thing. So that's pretty cool, you know, twist on the
That's
the negative.
Not pretty cool. That's
dope.
Thank you.
Hey.
All right. Guess what? Tyson tickets coming up. Brad Garrett Comedy Room, you and a guest. We got the certificate going out next here on Game On.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
4:53 in the Valley as we, 3:53 in the Valley as we close out this Good Friday, first day of the fall or autumn, if you want to call it that. And before we give away these Mike Tyson tickets, Undisputed Truth, Round 2, Brad Garrett Comedy Room over at the MGM Grand, Kevin Durant, okay? You've already won, okay? You've already won. You were MVP in the finals. You got your ring. You left OKC. You did it in a rude way to Russell Westbrook, the MVP of the regular campaign. You're happy, or are you? Okay, I know you're very young, but stop giving excuses. Making a fake account on Twitter to blast the coach and your former teammates, that right there is as weak. Let it go, all right? Let it go. Let it go now. Seriously, or else you're going to be hated. There's no reason for you to be hated. We loved you 2 years ago when you gave your MVP speech and gave all the credit to your moms. Understand me. Let it go, young man. And I'm letting it go now. Brad Garrett, Comedy Room. Mike Tyson, Undisputed Truth, Round 2. Caller number 20. 702-365-9200. Number 20, 702-365-9200. You've got the certificate for two to see Tyson do his thing. All right, for George Cole, Audiente, Ari, I'm Seat Williams, Folk, Chinstuck, Logarts up high. We'll see you on the radio Monday. More of Game On, NBC Sports Radio. Game On, game over.